So yeah, we were so it was yeah, my father-in-law's retirement party, and as of course is their wont, and you well know this, they have this habit of overfeeding the masses. We can just say overfeeding the masses.
Victor, there is nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't get to partake in your father-in-law's retirement party, so I feel as though this is the next best.
Mm-hmm. It's a little note of, but yeah, he's kind of finally hanging up the hat.
Mm-hmm.
And but in addition to everything else that got made, there's about 14 bags of smoked meat. And so what you got here, actually, you sent along his, you got his original recipe beef and pork, and there's also some of his sweet chili pork as well.
That's what this is. Right here on the sweet chili.
Like, there you go.
Tasty.
So, yes, if nothing else, shout out to Conrad, my father-in-law, because he has had a smoker for several years now, and his experimentation has really borne excellent fruit. Alright, so, episode 3, and, you know, I kind of banged my head against the wall trying to think of a topic for this one, and I couldn't. But first, we got some lighthearted ribbing, actually, from our former venture advisor, who disagreed slightly.
Slash rover advisor.
Alright, slash rover advisor, yeah. Had some strategic disagreements with our assessment of the advisory role in the first episode. And yeah, I mean, we were definitely tongue in cheeking it there, but probably could have made that part a little bit more clear. So blanket disclaimer, we often go tongue-in-cheek, and so you may want to have a little bit of salt on hand to consume along with anything we offer.
The viewpoints expressed here are solely those of the presenters and not of anyone else.
We certainly can't claim to speak for Scouts Canada or Boy Scouts of America, but... yes, so some lighthearted ribbing was received and administered. Which is
typical of an advisor, actually.
Indeed, yes, really another one of the important functions of that role. So there we go. You've got two of us tonight, just by the way. You've, of course, got Ken, I'm back, and then Colin is also here.
Yes, I was in episode 1, but had a brief hiatus for 2, and now I'm back for 3.
Mm-hmm. As I recall, for episode 2, that was when you were out in Vancouver sampling the tastiest cuisine that large city has to offer.
Yes. Well, that and I made it out to Victoria as well. So,
excellent.
I managed to take the rails to go out to Vancouver and recommend it if people are looking for a vacation trip or a trek just for fun. Look up Via Rail. And take the train. It's actually quite an experience.
I suppose the American equivalent would be Amtrak.
I guess, yes.
Yes.
Or the European equivalent as well.
Yes. Well, trains are a much bigger deal in Europe, I find.
And more commuting, as opposed to via rail, which is more of a sightseeing.
It's
the slow boat. they periodically get shunted to the sidings, and the freight trains go by, so... But you do get some spectacular views as you go through the mountains of Canada.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend who lives. we correspond all the time, just in regards to sort of one of the other communities I'm part of, one of the other websites I run, the other podcast that I run too. He lives in France, And he actually lives in a fairly rural part of France. Apparently that actually does exist. I mean, if you look at it on Google Maps, you wouldn't really think so, but he lives in a smaller town in France. And, but yeah, like if he's going anywhere to visit his girlfriend's family, to visit his family, anywhere in like the larger cities, he's always hopping on a train.
Yeah.
And, you know, train has Wi-Fi and power for his laptop. And like, it's just, he's set. And, you know, it's kind of strange for me to hear about it because I'm just like, well, you know, train's kind of a luxury ticket item around here.
And it really is. Like, the cheap ticket for me was $160 Canadian for a trip from Edmonton to Vancouver, which by car takes 16 hours ish.
Yeah. I mean, I've done it in 13. Yeah. I don't recommend doing it in 13.
Yeah. The train took just under a day. So we left 2 hours late and got in an hour early. So that just kind of gives you how VIA schedules their trains. There is quite a large margin for give and take. Schedule is a very loose term.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's not really saving time so much, but it is a very scenic route.
Yes.
through the mountains and yes. All the rest. So, well, last week we talked, or last week, no, that would be 2 weeks ago. We talked about, because this is not a weekly podcast, unlike my other. We talked about the uniform a little bit, and we're recording this on November 1st, so it was just Halloween last night, and which is why I've also got a bag of all the candies with peanuts, because I'm the only one who can eat peanuts around here.
So if you hear crinkling, that's just me eating some of the chocolates.
But while I was going through looking for topics, I tripped over something, and it's actually just a short little article on Brian on scouting. I'm actually not sure who Brian is. I can tell you he's with his name's Brian Wendell. He's with he's an Eagle Scout and the senior editor. There we go. Boys Life Scouting and Eagles Call, all magazines affiliated with Boy Scouts of America.
Apparently, he has a website.
He does. He does. He has a website called Brian on Scouting, which is actually at blog.scoutingmagazine.org. So it's kind of an offshoot of the Scouting magazine, one of the ones he edits. And he's talking, or rather he's posing the question, really, you know, wearing the Scout uniform as a Halloween costume. Halloween is here again. And the search for costumes inevitably leads you to the staples of the season, witch, ghost, zombie, vampire. But each season, some people consider dressing themselves as Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts. And apparently it's enough of a problem that at least one scout shop has chosen to address the issue head on. At the, yes, please eat the Mr. Biggs. There are three of them.
Excuse the crinkling.
At the excellent and massive, he writes, scout shop located in the National Scouting Museum, there's actually a sign at the entrance, or I assume there was, because of course Halloween's over now. There's a sign at the entrance that reads, Scout uniforms will not be sold as Halloween costumes. And he concludes, you know, so we want to know your take. Should Scout uniforms be purchased for use as Halloween costumes? Let us know in the comments area below. And I mean, my take, kind of following on the theme from last week, is that, or last time. I'm going to keep saying that all night. I just know it. My take is that, you know, yeah, you probably shouldn't be doing that. Just because, I mean, you know, like the point of the uniform, and this is true of like anything, the point of the uniform really is, you know, to signify that sense of belonging. To the organization, right? I suppose one of the commentators here kind of, you know, makes, has actually the first commenter says, you know, that I have to agree with the scout shop. Unless someone thinks of the scout uniform as a superhero, they wouldn't buy one as a costume to praise BSA. If they hold it so reverently, they'd already be a scout. So if they're out to mock scouting, then it's just as well they didn't have the easy opportunity to buy the uniform. And I mean, I suppose, you know, like that kind of addresses that nebulous situation where, like, you know, I mean, what if someone, you know, dresses up in a Edmonton Oilers jersey and his hockey gear and goes out, you know, as one of the players for Halloween?
Or a fireman or a police officer or, you know, there are some pretty close to par uniforms that costumes can get.
True, yeah. And I mean, I would hope that, you know, in those cases, because, you know, they're the one difference between, like, you know, being a firefighter, or, well, I mean, there's tons of differences, but one of the distinctions that, you know, anyone really can join scouting, you know, or is welcome to, right? I mean, you know, there's obviously certain requirements within the movement, but it's not like, you know, becoming a firefighter where there's years of rigorous training and it's very, you know, like there's this huge amount of physical demand that's placed on the person who wants to become that. Mm-hmm. And so, or like, you know, in the NHL, I mean, you know, anybody can play hockey, but not anybody can play in the NHL, right? So for better or for worse, you know, whether it's, you know, a good thing or not, you know, I mean, we have our police, we have firemen, we have sports players, and we do kind of hold these people in that maybe not quite superhero status, but getting up to that, right? Where, you know, we would think about donning the uniform kind of as a way of, you know, hopefully as a way of, you know, signifying that you see something praiseworthy, you know, enough to emulate them. I guess it's not impossible that someone could feel that way about scouting, but then, you know, you get to that point there too, is, you know, well, then why isn't that person in a scout? You're in scouting.
I think a lot of that has to do, or with this coming on, or this article, there has been the recent movie that's come out, The Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the potential for people to want to get that uniform is kind of along the same lines as, you know, I'm a character from the movie, right?
Yeah. Or the example from last week was, you know, like, oh, I'm dressing up as a young Indiana Jones, the Life Scout, right? Yeah. So, I had totally actually forgotten that Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse was even a movie. I just was not on my radar. Mind you, Star Wars is basically all that's been on my radar.
Agreed.
I didn't watch the trailer 150 times. 174. And I totally didn't watch all the other trailer mashups that I could find. But
I'm in the same boat. I won't lie.
But yeah, I totally forgot this was a movie. I mean, I'm looking at the, there are show times now, you know, it might almost be interesting to see this at some point, just so we can comment on it. Although I see that, you know, it's getting 31% on Rotten Tomatoes and only 32% on Metacritic.
I'll be honest. I think as a scout, you will have a different appreciation for the movie than those that go and just watch it.
Maybe. Yeah. I guess it really depends on, like, how well they,
if there's those inside jokes that, you know, only the people in the scouting movement would get.
Exactly. You know, yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, I could see it just being, like, really wrong and cheesy, and it's just, wow, this is just totally lame. But on the other hand, yeah, I mean, if you know, especially if, like, the writer and the director and some of the cast have, you know, some experience inside the movement, I mean, there is a lot that happens and that builds up through your experience with scouting that, you know, yeah, you do get a lot of those inside jokes, and I could see some of it translating to the screen, but I'm admittedly kind of dubious. Still, maybe once that, you know, when we were in Rovers, we had this tradition of, it wasn't the longest lived tradition, but it was a good tradition of, you know, finding, like, the B-est B movie we could and watching it.
Yes.
Dungeons and Dragons was one such. Did we do the Wing Commander movie?
Yes, we did.
Yes, that's right. We did the Wing Commander movie. Actually, we saw that in theaters, as I recall. Or maybe that was just me.
trying to think what else.
Well,
Snakes on a Plane.
Snakes on a Plane. I wasn't there for that one, but yeah, that was another one. Oh, Surf Nazis.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Brought in Surf Nazis must have.
I don't even think we finished that one. Mm-hmm. It was just so horrible.
Well, I don't know. I think most of us fell asleep, actually, to be perfectly right. Honest.
Despite the title, it was just...
It just didn't live up to
its... Boring.
Yeah.
And terrible. Admittedly, though, the opening commentary in which the producer attempted to assign credit for inspiration for Independence Day, the movie, to the director of Surf Nazis. That was probably the best part of that show, actually.
Pitch black.
Oh, well.
Okay, so maybe that was a it's an action movie, but you know. Yeah.
But see, at least that spawned like a successful series, you know, like Dungeons and Dragons very nearly ended the career of everybody involved with it.
Yes, it did. So,
but yeah, maybe though it would be good to like get the gang back together and just give this a viewing and then record our thoughts. That's yes. Going on the list.
Yes.
That's going
put on that the on list. An episode list.
So, anyways, by all means, feel free to, you know, sound off on that either at Scouter Brian's website, or you know what? I mean, if you want to comment here, scoutingstuffpodcast@gmail.com, happily take and even read aloud your feedback. The other thing, one other thing, I think we got a little bit of time to just, you know, one of these episodes to get too terribly long, but one other thing that I tripped over, and I didn't pay enough attention beforehand. So it was on the 17th and 18th of October. There was a Jamboree on the Air and Jamboree on the Internet. And of course, it should have occurred to me that was, you know, going to be happening in October, because there were a couple of times where we ran 100 plus.
Yes.
Where we had Jodies.
Yeah, as an event.
Yes. So I'm going to have to like make a mental note to, you know, it's like, okay, it's October. Got to be thinking about Jody.
It's the weekend after Canadian Thanksgiving.
Mm. Yes. Turkey.
Yes.
Okay. I'm good.
Took a moment for that.
Yep. Happy memories. But anyways, yes. So that happened. And unfortunately, I only realized it kind of post facto, so I didn't get my beavers involved. But that's definitely something I'm going to have to add in for next year, if at all possible. This was actually the 58th annual JOTA in Canada. So.
Well, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Well, I guess the World JOTA Bureau is located in Ottawa, Canada. So
really?
That's cool, too.
Is that something that was started by Canadians? Or is that something that more research is required, I guess?
More research would be required in there. I can tell you the World JOTA Bureau is located in Ottawa, but does that mean that that's where it started? I don't know. In 1997, that was when that was JOTA, Jamboree on the Air, which is, you know, radio, basically ham radio and the like. And then in 1997, internet communications, primarily through IRC, was added. And this is called Jamboree on the Internet, or JOTI for short. So now they both happen simultaneously, and you know it's basically sponsored by the World Organization of the Scouting Movement. There's about 500,000 participants in any given year, and it's a really, really great way to meet and interact with, you know, scouts and guides from around the world. In much the same way that you would at a Jamboree, except from, you know, the comfort of your own internet connection, or in the case of 100 plus, from the comfort of a tent with a generator and whatever computers we could scrounge up.
Yes.
I mean, what? And, you know, a cellular modem that is just able to handle IRC.
I was going to say, I seem to recall, you know, a very spotty internet connection when we tried it.
Yes.
The first time. It got better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, nowadays it wouldn't be so bad because you can just, like, go get one of those, you know, 4G LTE modems with the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Technology is a wonderful thing.
Yes, totally.
So on and so forth.
Yeah, I'm counting on that when I'm going to have my beavers doing Bitsbox later this year.
Yes.
Or maybe early next year. But one of the things that I thought was really interesting about this is that so there's this group or this organization called ScoutLink. And they actually run a Minecraft server. Okay, so they have their own official Minecraft ScoutLink or ScoutLink Minecraft server. And this is neat because, I mean, and the best part was, like, they were, you know, they were there at Jota Jody. And so they actually, like, they put together this ScoutLink worldwide Scout Minecraft server for you and a bunch of other scouts to make use of. And so you could actually, you know, meet with and connect with other scouts and guides in Minecraft, and they were tweeting pictures all weekend of, like, you know, scouting related things that were happening in the game, in the server, right? Whether it was like people like building massive scout logos or, you know, just all kinds of stuff, which I thought was really, really neat. I actually, as I recall, I fired off a tweet to the effect of, you know, so scouting and Minecraft together kind of puts a whole new spin on the term Scoutcraft. Baden Powell probably wept at that. But, you know.
Roll over.
I went there. And but yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of shows how far it's gone from, you know, because we would have been there, like, that would probably would have been 97, 98, because we were participants at the at that 100 plus where they first did it. It would have been around that time.
Yep.
So I guess it's really gone, like, quite far from, you know, the days of all being huddled around, like, one computer trying to IRC over a really terrible connection to, you know, now
having a dedicated Minecraft server.
Yes. Just, I can't even fathom that.
Playing Minecraft with scouts from all over the place.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It is. Minecraft.scoutlink.net is the server address, or you can go to scoutlink.net/connect/Minecraft to find out a little more information. But, yeah, that, I guess, kind of takes it to a whole new level from, like, you know, a bunch of the rovers sitting around a pool table with a couple of boards on top and all of our computers.
Yeah.
Sitting on it.
Playing Counter-Strike.
Counter-Strike, yeah. We did the did Counter-Strike, and then we had a whole bunch of different games.
Yeah. Counter-Strike is the one that
was kind of the mainstay there.
Yeah, it's the one that
kept strikes coming back to with. That.
Yeah.
It's really hard to tie that to scouting. Like, at least in Minecraft, you know, like, you can build...
Yes.
You can build anything, really. I mean, that's the beauty of the game, right? Is that, you know, like, you can build, whether it's representations of, like, you know, your country, so that, you know, when there's others that are coming to see you, so, well, okay, this is kind of going to give them a snapshot of your culture, at least as best as you can represent it. Whereas in Counter-Strike, it's just kind of like,
just win. Yeah, well, true. But, you know, that's...
But...
change of times, perhaps.
Yes.
Change of times.
Exactly. This is a little bit more official, you know. That might have been everybody in the rover crew sitting in that basement, but I don't think it was an official scouting event by any stretch or scheme of imagination.
Less first-person shooter and more creativity.
Yes. That is actually probably what we want to be fostering there. So, but yeah, I thought that was... neat, and I now I'm wondering. I was like, okay, so is this like how I can? Because I mean, like, all my beavers play Minecraft, or like the vast majority of my beavers play Minecraft. It's just like, okay, is that the Is that the push I need to somehow try and factor that in as a meeting topic?
Maybe. I would say if scouts around the world are playing Minecraft, that's a pretty good in.
Yeah, you know.
as an event.
just a little bit, yeah. I mean, well, maybe next year if I remember it, I'll do a thing, you know, with try and like arrange some hall space for the Beavers on a Saturday when Jonah Jody's happening, and then
I can send you a reminder email.
Oh yes, I'm totally gonna like put up a calendar
to the Google Calendar.
You know, though, I mean, the other nice thing is I've got a really good bunch of leaders this year who would totally buy into doing stuff like that. I wonder if there's a second Jonah Jody coming up if they do another one. Like in early 2016, I should look. Because I mean, I think we could actually pull that off. I know a lot of the leaders that I have this year are really, really keen on just like totally maximizing the experience, which is good because I mean I've got a bunch of different things planned that I want to do with the Beavers. Yes. Because you know, I mean, obviously, like you know, we do try and put the focus on the outdoors, but when it's minus 30, I can't really march the Beavers outside for...
Well, you can. It's just frowned upon.
Yes. Yeah, so I get irate letters from parents and the group commissioner and everybody.
Something about preparedness, though.
That
would be my sentiments.
Yeah. I mean, minus 10 is one thing, but yeah, minus 30, the dead cold of winter, that's a different thing entirely. But, I mean...
There is an official Joda Jyoti website.
Yeah, well, there is. The joda-jyoti.ca, as I recall.
Nope, this one here.
Oh, another one you got on there?
Yeah, this is the world one. Joda Jyoti, all one word, jota.info.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And do they give dates for any other?
They give the dates already for the 2016. That's how on the ball they are.
Wow. There, look at that. We hope you enjoyed Jyoti Jyoti 2015. 14th, 15th, and 16th. Okay, 3 days this time, October 2016. So that's going to be good. Okay, so they only do it once a year.
but they do. They are on Twitter.
Yes, they are. They are at Jyoti Jyoti, JOTAJOTI.
Conveniently enough, they're all sorts of social media.
Yes, they've Instagram.
They got Facebook too.
Nice.
For the rest of us that don't Instagram or Twitter.
You know, I hear that Instagram is really kind of becoming one of the more dominant. Instagram and I mean Snapchat because you know it's ephemeral.
Yes.
Apparently. Apparently, Facebook is losing market share amongst the youth. It's us older
it's people. Become an old person's yes. Social media.
Facebook is where my dad is.
Oh, God. we're that old, are we?
Seemingly. I don't know when that happened, but...
Yeah, I missed that. I missed the memo.
So, yes. I'm totally going to have to do this with the Beavers.
Jyoti Jyoti.
See if I can even get a couple ham radios in. That would be all right.
I know a ham radio operator.
Really? I'm totally going to have to get his contact deets from you.
Yeah. I don't know when the last time he fired up his equipment was. He has a very, very large antenna at his house.
Oh, nice.
He lives on an acreage outside of Edmonton.
It'll be two meetings. Yeah. The first meeting will be helping him repair his radio equipment. And the second meeting will be Jyoti Jyoti.
Yes.
That's nice. That's good. I like that. Totally going to have to do that. I mean, I remember the first one that we did, which I didn't stay for too long, because I recall it was pretty late. No, well, yeah, it was fairly late, I think, the one time. I remember being dark out. But just like, it was cool watching like, you know, this, because IRC, I mean, is just all like, it's just this one stream and it's actually really, really hard to process in some respects, right? Because, you know, you can have like all of these little small separate conversations happening, but then you're all seeing just one continuous stream by, and you kind of have to filter out, who am I talking to in all of this? And who's else is talking to who else? It was fascinating. This is like, these are scouts from like halfway around the world that we're talking to. This is cool. Almost as cool as, actually going to a jamboree in another country and meeting scouts from halfway around the world who'd also flown there. So
that is always a neat experience, though.
Yes. Cannot recommend that enough.
If you can't fly there, Jota Joti is probably a good way of doing it.
Definitely. Definitely.
If you can't do a jamboree, do one on the air / internet.
So that makes me wonder if, do they do an internet component? They must do it with the world jamborees.
To what level? What involvement?
Oh, I thought there was something like a Jody that attended WJ 2007. I'd have to go back and look. But I thought I remember reading something about that.
When we were there, they probably have a way of communicating in.
Mm-hmm.
They have that as an event, probably.
Yeah.
That would make sense. I know they have... they have the local radio, like the site radio station and all that kind of stuff going. And
yeah.
The various media, like they produce that paper. So to have another multimedia component or a media component. So
probably wouldn't have been the biggest. You know who we could ask about that? Mr. Burns the Younger.
Yes.
He was part of the press gang.
Yes. He would have been there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stuff to ponder for next.
Indeed. Well, that's what I found for the evening. So, scouting uniforms as Halloween costumes. I personally wouldn't recommend, but I suppose that, movies like Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse kind of put a gray area on it.
Yeah.
How do you dress up as a character from that movie if by some chance you like it?
Yeah.
Without putting on, scout uniform. Although I guess it would be interesting too. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say you could theoretically remove the identifying
scout. Yeah, the insignia.
Insignia and, but.
But then you just have a green shirt.
Yeah, snappy green shirt.
It is a snappy green shirt.
Or a snappy red shirt, depending on...
blue,
yeah.
Or gray sweater.
Yeah.
I guess, too, though, actually, that would be something, is next time we have Brian on, maybe we should, have him review some stills from the images, because, he mentioned on the uniform cast that... BSA in particular, and this is all, this American movie, so it's going to be BSA. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Scouts Canada is as rigorous, but he did mention that, BSA really does guard the public depiction of the uniform in things like film. Mm-hmm. So, it was kind of a special case that Indy was in an authentic Life Scout uniform for the period. And it was really only because Spielberg himself had been the Eagle Scout that BSA was just like, yeah, all right, cool, go ahead with that. So... it would be interesting to, see. It's like, are the people in the movie wearing authentic scout uniforms?
Is it authentic? Is it authentic and true to form?
Because if it is, that just adds a whole other wrinkle to that.
Yes.
But, so yes. And yes, Jota Jotis are awesome. So mark it on your calendars, October 14th, 15th, and 16th next year.
2016.
Yep. And, apparently there is a... I don't know if I can completely use the word official because I don't know what ScoutLink's formal status is within everything, but certainly there is a scouting themed Minecraft server out there, and that might just be a thing to check out. So look up ScoutLink on the internet. All right. Well, we already gave a shout out to Conrad, my father-in-law, for the excellent beef jerky.
Mm-hmm. Deliciousness.
And so, and I suppose we should give a shout out to Ian, our former and in some spiritual sense continuing advisor.
Yes, for keeping us on the straight and narrow.
Yes.
And keeping us out of jail.
And providing good-natured ribbing at appropriate moments. So, thank you to Ian for that and all the many other things that you have contributed to in our formation as young men. And, you know, yeah. And he continues to do that. The group quartermaster too now. I believe he still has some involvement with the Vents and the Rovers.
Yep.
So.
The Ventures for sure.
We have more venture advisors now, though. It was the Ian show back when it was our time. Yeah.
But everybody's getting older and seeing how cool it is to be an advisor of a venture company. They're just like, I want in.
Yep, pretty much.
they're looking at how hard Ian has to work to be a venture advisor, and they're like, I can do that.
I want that. But yeah, shout out to Ian. So, all right. Comments, questions, concerns, feedback, complaints, everything can go to scoutingstuffpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us also. We do have Twitter now, and that's, you still only get like 15 characters, so I had to go with SSYSK podcast. So twitter.com/thatwholemess. I'll put it on the website, scoutingstuffpodcast.com. And I guess we should say good night. So,
good night.
And be...
Oh, no. I was going to say thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening and prepare. But you know, more than just that, we shouldn't gloat, but more than just that, jerky is an absolutely wonderful camp food too. A little bit salty though, so you might burn through your water. Mm. But if you want to bring meat on a trip, you certainly can't go wrong with smoking it.
Were you did you go to CJ 93 with us?
Not 93, 97, the one where all the stuff got stolen.
Right, okay. Well, but... Mark Lund was your scout leader, so that would...
Yeah, there was smoked meat that happened there,
too. I was going to say there was jerky, and that was really good.
Mm-hmm. As I recall, Mark really liked to use the soy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did the soy, and then kind of he started
marinated, marinate the pit for a day or two,
mm-hmm.
and then dry it.
Yeah. But then he also had a really good, because soy, but he had a really good teriyaki, as I recall, too.
Yes.
A really excellent one. Happy memories.
We'll critique jerkies later.
Yes, we'll do a...
keep that on the docket for...
a completely separate episode in which we critique...
We could call it camp cooking and then have a section all devoted to... jerkies.
We'll have to invite Graham in for that one.
Mm, yes.